Chapter 2, Prayer and Faith, Continued. The American Revised Version renders the 24th verse of the 11th chapter of Mark, "Thus, therefore I say unto you, all things, whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Perfect faith has always in its keeping what perfect prayer asks for. How large and unqualified is the area of operation the all things whatsoever! How definite and specific the promise, "ye shall have them." Our chief concern is with our faith, the problems of its growth, and the activities of its vigorous maturity. A faith which grasps and holds in its keeping the very things it asks for, without wavering, doubt or fear, that is the faith we need, faith such as is a pearl of great price, in the process and practice of prayer. The statement of our Lord about faith and prayer quoted above is of supreme importance. Faith must be definite, specific, and unqualified, unmistakable request for the things asked for. It is not to be a vague, indefinite, shadowy thing. It must be something more than an abstract belief in God's willingness and ability to do for us. It is to be a definite, specific, asking for, and expecting the things for which we ask. Note the reading of Mark 11:23, "And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith." Just so far as the faith and the asking is definite, so also will the answer be. The giving is not to be something other than the things prayed for, but the actual things sought and named. "He shall have whatsoever he saith." It is all imperative, "he shall have." The granting is to be unlimited, both in quality and in quantity. Faith and prayer select the subjects for petition, thereby determining what God is to do. "He shall have whatsoever he saith." Christ holds himself ready to supply exactly, and fully, all the demands of faith and prayer. If the order on God be made clear, specific and definite, God will fill it, exactly in accordance with the presented terms. Faith is not an abstract belief in the Word of God, nor mere mental credence, nor a simple assent of the understanding and will, nor is it a passive acceptance of facts, however sacred or thorough. Faith is an operation of God, a divine illumination, a holy energy implanted by the Word of God and the Spirit in the human soul, a spiritual, divine principle which takes of the supernatural, and makes it a thing apprehendable by the faculties of time and sense. Faith deals with God, and is conscious of God. It deals with the Lord Jesus Christ, and sees in Him a Savior. It deals with God's Word, and lays hold of the truth. It deals with the Spirit of God, and is energized and inspired by its holy fire. God is the great objective of faith, for faith rests its whole weight on His Word. Faith is not an aimless act of the soul, but a looking to God and a resting upon His promises. Just as love and hope have always an objective, so, also, has faith. Faith is not believing just anything, it is believing God, resting in Him, trusting His Word. Faith gives birth to prayer, and grows stronger, strikes deeper, rises higher, in the struggles and wrestlings of mighty petitioning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance and realization of the inheritance of the saints. Faith, too, is humble and persevering. It can wait and pray, it can stay on its knees, or lie in the dust. It is the one great condition of prayer, the lack of it lies at the root of all poor praying, feeble praying, little praying, unanswered praying. The nature and meaning of faith is more demonstrable in what it does, than it is by reason of any definition given it. Thus, if we turn to the record of faith given us in that great honor roll, which constitutes the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we see something of the wonderful results of faith. What a glorious list it is that of these men and women of faith! What marvelous achievements are there recorded, and set to the credit of faith! The inspired writer, exhausting his resources in cataloguing the Old Testament saints, who were such notable examples of wonderful faith, finally exclaims, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." And then the writer of Hebrews goes on again, in a wonderful strain, telling of the unrecorded exploits wrought through the faith of the men of old, of whom the world was not worthy. "All these," he says, "obtained a good report through faith." What an era of glorious achievements would dawn for the Church and the world, if only there could be reproduced a race of saints of like mighty faith, of like wonderful praying. It is not the intellectually great that the Church needs, nor is it men of wealth that the times demand. It is not people of great social influence that this day requires. Above everybody and everything else, it is men of faith, men of mighty prayer, men and women after the fashion of the saints and heroes enumerated in Hebrews, who obtained a good report through faith, that the Church and the whole wide world of humanity needs.